Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from Novo Resources, traded on the TSX under the symbol NVO and on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF. I'm chatting with the president and chairman, Quentin Henny. Now, Quentin, let's start off by following up on the most recent news that came out of the company, released March 31st, and that is the preliminary economic assessment, the PEA, for Beaton's Creek. Overall, some of the highlights here shows pretty much 6-year production averaging 100,000 ounces of gold. Some of the cash costs are all sub $1,000. I'll post a link to that news release so everyone can read over this general update here on the PEA. But Quentin, really, when you take a step back and look at this PEA, it does show that Beaton's Creek is a profitable mine, and you guys are mining now. So give us an update on this PEA, how it further confirmed that move into production, and what else you can outline in terms of planned production at Beaton's Creek.
Yeah, sure. This is a very important moment for us. This is really the first official economic study, at least one that we published, like a 43-101 compliant resource or resource and economic study around this project. And so this is important. This is the first time people have gone after a conglomerate gold project in Australia, period. Like, this is the first for all of us. And, you know, everybody knows these are nuggety. They've got other challenges around them. We've worked very, very hard over the past few years to demonstrate the grades and, through bulk sampling and trial mining and things like this. And this really is a culmination of a lot of hard work. What's exciting here is, this deposit will generate a very good profile of production, as well as a very, very handsome all-in cost. We're looking at all-in sustaining costs less than $1,000 US. All right, so this is a good, we'll say, basis for the company to grow. Some people say 6 years isn't a very long mine life. Look, if anyone knows this deposit, that to grow this thing, the geology is very conducive for expansion. Like, the beds of conglomerate will go on and on, likely for much beyond the current mine life. But we decided to start at this place. This gives us a really good foundation on which to grow, and we anticipate growing that mine life over the years. I suspect this will be one of these mines that just continues like the Energizer Bunny. The project, the gold price has been waffling around. It's been a little bit of an aggravation because when we started work on the study, it was late last year, I think November-ish, we'll call it. And the inputs, we were dealing with about $1,900, $2,000 gold at the time, U.S. And, the gold price has fallen. So, we've tried to take the conservative case here. We basically did this at U.S. gold price the day it was issued, which was about $1,700. And then also, looking ahead, we do it at consensus. So it's the base case scenario. Yet it still returns a very good, value to shareholders. Okay, we're looking at $318 million U.S. NPV at a 5% discount. So, what does it mean? Well, it means this is a great underpinning for the current value of the company, especially given all the exploration upside we have.
So when it comes to that exploration upside, what's the attack strategy going to be to show that there is still this potential and then grow the resource?
Okay, so we announced a few field results from areas around Beaton's Creek late last year. If you look back at news releases, say the last quarter of 2020, you'll see that we found extensions of the mineralization off to the west. So we know these beds of conglomerate do continue, they continue under the subsurface and pop up again off to the west. And we also found a new conglomerate sequence stacked above the one that we're currently looking at mining, we call Skyfall, and that one outcrops to the south. So this really has allowed us to take off the blinders and look around and start thinking about the bigger picture here. And my hunch is that we'll see organic growth again. Organic growth that drives this thing well beyond 6 years. Now, that said, there's also the potential that's been added through the acquisition of Millennium. When we acquired Millennium's assets back in August of 2020, it included a very large block of ground out in the Mosquito Creek Basin, which is to the east from Beaton's Creek. It's a little different geology, but again, it has excellent potential for, you know, for exploration. We talked about that a bit in a news release, I believe, dated sometime in December of last year. We have so, you know, an astounding number of targets out there that really have never been tested. You know, Millennium was always cash strapped, so they never had a lot of ability to go out and aggressively drill and explore. We have a good team. In fact, we have some of the former Millennium team working in our geologic staff, and we're ready to go out and really grow the story. I think combined, you know, Beaton's Creek and the Millennium tenure around this area really puts us in an excellent position at the Nulligan camp to have a long-lived, sustainable operation.
How about mill capacity, too? If you're seeing a lot of exploration potential and you're already coming out of the gate here with an estimated 100,000 ounces of gold production per year, is there room to grow on the production side in terms of mill use?
We think so. Yeah, look, you know, the answer to that question will come over the next few months. But really, a lot of the work we're doing right now kind of models throughput at a level that's lower than Millennium operated the mill for many years. So, you know, to give people a perspective, this mill has been operating at about 1.9 million ton per annum for about the past 5 or 6 years while Millennium was in charge. Okay, we know the mill can do that. We suspect, yes, you know, that we should be able to operate at that level. But the modeling that's been done in this PEA, for example, has a smaller throughput than that. That means we would have, in theory, excess capacity. All right, so low-hanging fruit, yes, there's going to be opportunity to go out and look at other exploration targets or even known resources in the area that we can combine with this base case and grow from here.
Okay. Quentin, I appreciate that update. Now we are going to take care of a few questions that have come in over the last about month now. Please, everyone, keep on emailing me your questions. And if we didn't get to yours on this interview, send me another email and we will get to it next interview. But continuing to focus at Beaton's Creek here, production has been ongoing. This listener notes for approximately 6 weeks now. And he says it would be nice to know what the actual grade is compared to the block models used to prepare the 43-101 resource estimate. Quentin, can you give us an understanding of how the grades are comparing now that you're mining?
Sure. We don't have complete clarity on that yet. I mean, you got to collect a lot of data before you can kind of arm wave. But we are collecting that data. That's one of the main going concerns of the operation is to assess the amount of gold in the rock or that's generated from the rock compared to what was predicted. Now, we will be able to talk more and more about that over the next few months. But right now, what we know is this. We are trying different techniques for mining this. You know, some are a little bit more aggressive. In other words, what I'm saying is as we cut our teeth here, we might incur more dilution than we initially anticipated, which means the grade might go down, yet the gold inventory, we hope to see the same. In other words, on a square meter basis, we'll call it, we should see the same amount of gold delivered. So you got to, you know, I'm kind of setting the stage here, if you will, for what's probably going to come is that, you know, because we have excess capacity in the mill, why not use it? And therefore, you know, we're looking at mining a little more aggressively. You know, bear in mind, a lot of the stuff above and below these reefs actually has a bit of gold in it. So it's not like, too onerous of dilution. But we will be able to make those comparisons right now. I think it's a little early to say what the overall inventory of gold is coming out of the mill versus what we've been putting in. Let us collect a little more data on that over the next couple of months. The other thing people have to understand is part of the first mining that we've done is actually in the back area where we mined a low-grade panel, a pretty extensive low-grade panel in preparation for waste disposal. So, you know, people think, these guys jump in and you start mining the high-grade right away. It's not quite how it works. The high-grade actually has cover rock, okay? So you need to get rid of that cover rock. So the first step we had to take was to go out and mine an area somewhat lower grade so that we can use that area now to strip off rock from the higher grade areas so we can get to those. So that's kind of at the stage we're at right now. I would say, looking around, there's probably two or three areas they've now opened up that are higher grade. We've dumped that waste back in the back. And from this point forward, I think we'll see the grades increase over time. Again, that'll lend itself to a better comparison. I don't want to kind of compare with the data we have in hand right this moment.
Fair enough. It is still such early on in the production scenario here. Plus, as you said, you need to go systematically at this deposit. Another question kind of related to that whole conglomerate makeup of this deposit. This listener says there might be large areas where the Beaton's Creek ore grade is low, but could be concentrated into a much higher grade. Please ask Quentin if Novo is setting aside this lower grade, say under the 0.5 gram per ton cutoff, to be concentrated once shorters are shown, or if they are shown to work at doing this.
Look, absolutely. In any mine scenario, you never throw out anything of value, okay? And there's different categories of material. So, you have your high-grade material, your lower-grade material, and then you have what's called min waste, mineralized waste. It's not waste in the sense that it's barren. It's just below the economic cutoff grade. You don't want to throw that out, okay? You don't want to mix it in with other waste and, dilute it and lose that value. It's going to have value at some point in time. So what you usually do is you stockpile. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to stockpile lower grade material. Whether we, that results in upgrading it mechanically, like we've talked about, that's certainly one avenue. Otherwise, the gold price varies. It might be the min waste today is not min waste in a few months from now, because of the gold price. So it could see value quickly in an appreciating gold price environment.
All right, couple other questions regarding the use of the sorter, the Steinhardt sorter. One question focuses on Purdy's and Comet Well for more or less a recap of how that sorter is functioning, especially when it comes to the fine golds of the less than 1 millimeter. What updates can you give us initially from the sorting work at Purdy's and Comet Well?
The sorter is in Australia. We're gearing up by hiring people to run that program. We've got a number of people we have in sight. It's getting off to a little bit slower start than we hoped. We were actually, going to probably be about another month and a half or so before we start work on that program. But, we're keeping to our script. The plan is to go out, test mine a few panels at Comet Well, Purdy's Reward, and put it through the sorter. The sorter location, we're kind of debating right now. There are alternatives, whether we put it at site or perhaps we put it somewhere a little more convenient. That's what we're kind of planning right now, to do it in the most economically effective way. Look, the whole point of the sorter exercise is to see if we can produce a high-grade concentrate that can be shipped to Beaton's Creek. If so, then that means we can basically dovetail the Karrather operation straight onto the Beaton's Creek Production Center.
So what grade would be considered high enough then, in your eyes, to make that all work?
Okay, so the when we're talking about grade, there's the grade of the gold in the rock, and then there's the grade of the concentrate that we produce through the mechanical sorting process. Okay, the grade of gold in the rock might be a few grams per ton. But the mechanical sorting test work that we've done to date indicates we can produce a very high-grade concentrate from that. When we crush that material down and then mechanically sort it, we get mass yields on the order of 1%. In other words, we take 100 tons and we can reduce it down to a ton of mass, yet still capture, say, 90-plus percent of the gold in the rock. That produces an extremely high-grade product that can be trucked. That's easily truckable. The economics are justified. So we're very optimistic that this whole scenario will work.
Okay. Thank you, Quentin. Let's also look at news that came out March 22nd. The headline says Novo exercises option over Kalamazoo Resources Queen's Gold Project. I want you to discuss how this just continues to fit into the overall strategy here of Novo Resources in this area of Australia and building on already a large land package.
Well, look, to put it very bluntly, it's a highly prospective, high-grade target right in the middle of the Victorian goldfields in an area where there's a mine, the Fosterville mine, which created huge value for Kirkland Lake shareholders. I know this area reasonably well. I identified this target about a year and a half ago. We cut a deal with GBM for the core block, the core tenement at Malmesbury. And then we cut a second deal, very similar, but second deal with Kalamazoo for the ground around it, the Queens Project. Combined, this gives us 100% control, or sorry, I should say, geographically, we got 100% of the district under control now, consolidated, to allow us to effectively tackle exploration and hopefully make a new high-grade discovery. Both cases, we are earning into this, so we bought a 50% stake from both GBM, their ground, and then the Kalamazoo ground, and then we had the right to earn up to 70%. Look, for us, it's about organic growth here at Novo. I like, you know, creating value out of exploration, and Malmesbury is one of the highest quality assets in the entire Victorian goldfields. In fact, I think it's the highest quality asset. It's 50 kilometers due south of the Fosterville deposit. It's in the same geologic regime, and quite frankly, it displays all the same bells and whistles that are seen at Fosterville.
Quentin, then get us out of here with maybe a little recap or summary of what news everyone can expect. All those shareholders, everyone watching this company, as the company continues to move through production and also all this exploration you're undertaking.
Certainly. Look, this PEA, you can kind of think of it as a a program for a play or something. You get into the auditorium, here's your program, sir. And now we're going to start talking about the actual production at site sometime in the next, by mid-month, by mid-April, we'll have an update around the production, the activity at site, the different techniques of mining that we've been trying. We'll have photographs to explain to people. I like to keep people informed, so we'll have an update around all of that. As time goes on, we'll have updates about the exploration that we're doing. I think people will see that we're going to be aggressive about tackling exploration in the area around Nullagine and showing that we have a lot of future growth for the mine. Beyond that, looking down the road further, we got our trial sorting exercise that we just discussed at Karratha. We have exploration on other tenements and areas across the Pilbara. You know, people should not forget that we have a lot of land tenure across the Pilbara. So we'll have exploration news over the coming year around those, as well as the Malmesbury project, which we just discussed.
Okay, Quentin, I appreciate that update. Again, anybody with some more questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I will be posting that link to the news section on the Novo website. Quentin, thank you for your time. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you, Corey.